PFT Media.
All episodes of The Experience with Chris Fio were recorded prior to the COVID-19 pandemic.
This is The Experience with Chris Fio. In each episode, Fio brings his unique and unashamed interview style to Central Florida. He conducts honest and open interviews with people that have the vocabulary and expertise that he lacks.
In this episode of The Experience, I talk with renowned artist Harold Gard. Born in 1923, Harold has enjoyed an extraordinary life in the arts. One of a small handful of artists whose career spans the entirety of the New York School, Harold now is in his 97th year and continues to paint every day. I consider Harold both a friend and a mentor.
Happy to finally get to do this.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, everyone. I'm here with Harold Gard today.
Well, it's good seeing you again. It really is. It's lovely. And you picked a marvelous day. And the light's good. The skylights work here also.
I know. They make everything really,
really
well.
They really do it very nice.
I like how it shines up on your art. And, you know, it really makes all the shadings pop out.
Yeah, that's one of the many things I had to do to make the place work as well as it does for me, is to install those lights.
Now, those didn't come with this place, did they?
No.
Not at all. When did you install those?
2000 and maybe five.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it would be 14 years ago, which is pretty close to what I told you before, that I'd been here at about 14, 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you were telling me that, and you've had to do many things with this place ever since then. Like you said, you had the AC you had to work on.
Yeah, I've replaced that. I had the carpet removed in here. More recently, I had the studio all reworked because it was just a leak box. I mean,
it was just,
I couldn't sleep during it. When it was raining,
because
everything was pouring right in. I was emptying every possible pot and pan all night long.
So it kind of looked like that overboard scene.
There's actually one of the films on me.
Yeah.
Actually shows me emptying the water.
Really? Which film was this?
It may have been Harold Gard, Working Artist, but it also may have been some stuff that he took earlier that he included in Art and Spirit.
Oh, wow.
Both of those have been shown on public television in Florida.
Yeah, what years were they shown? Hard to say.
The first one film that was on television was Maine Masters. And I'm trying to think of, I think my wife was still alive. So I would say that would be in the 90s.
Yeah.
The first one. Then when I had the retrospective at LAN, when I had that with the book that went with it, that was done 92 or 3, somewhere like that.
Yeah. Wow. How were those experiences for you at the time?
Pardon me?
Were those your first time experiences with, like, being filmed and documented?
The first one was Maine Masters, which was a half-hour broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done earlier. That was done... Fairly early in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was 92, 93.
I was 4 years old at the time.
And then when they had the big show with the finances and with the grant from the Kaplan Foundation, Dale Shearholt was hired, and it was a mixture because he had been hired by the Farnsworth Museum. to do a series of about four documentaries for them. And he wanted to do a documentary on me, and he asked them if that could be included in the four. So while it got paid for by the grant, it also was one of them done with the satisfying the requirement from the Farnsworth Museum. And so then he did that, and it was called Harold Gard, Working Artist, and it was an hour long, and it's been on public television in Maine and in Florida, I think Michigan,
yep,
and possibly a couple of other places along the way. It's now going to be shown again. The Art and Spirit was this year available all the time on public radio, public TV in Maine, and it's going to be shown in July in Vermont.
Really?
On public TV.
Wow. They're still playing this even recently. That,
yeah.
It's actually very impressive that, you know, the relevance of your name is still around today.
Yep. So that one called Harold Gard, Working Artist, first that he did, and he wasn't as happy with that. I thought it was splendid, but he wasn't as happy with it.
What was his gripes about it? Why wasn't he happy?
By me?
Why wasn't he happy? What was the reason?
It's hard. One of the things I wanted him to do, and that's my input in it, I've seen him present these, and he does a very, very good job, but he kind of asked me to answer the questions without referring to him, without talking back to him, just by repeating the question. Like he would say, is it the first time you used so much red in a painting? And I was supposed to come back to him and say, I use a lot of red in this painting, which I had not done before, and this is why, you know, or something.
Oh.
So that he didn't. So I told him he was such a terrific presenter that I think that he ought to include himself, because we're such good friends, and we'd be sitting over the coffee or other drinking or talking and things like that. He said, don't leave yourself out of it. I think it makes it more real.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he aimed for. And then when he did the other and later ones, I think he did a lot more of that, including himself, which made the interchange. I think he did it with the Will Barnett film, and I think it made it feel more casual and more real.
Yeah, so he could ease up and relax into himself. And that's a big thing, especially in the art scene with your art.
And he spent time living with me, so
yeah,
while he was doing it, he found the time. And he's a great guy. I mean, just...
How long have you known him for?
Since my wife died in 98, and I would back off probably since about 93.
Yeah. Oh, long time for a friendship.
Today. Yeah.
Very long time. Yeah. Standards for friendships nowadays aren't this high.
Yeah. No, this is special. He was very close friends with the development director, and at that time the executive director of the Farnsworth Museum. So that's how they got them to approve.
Wow, really?
That as well. And I knew a lot of people up in Maine, so he got to know them, and we got to know a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
And still do, so.
So it's a synergy.
I'll be seeing a lot of those in Bangor.
And about your art, there's one piece in particular that is on your back porch that really speaks to me. And can you tell me what your friend, who was she again? Remind the audience.
The one from the University
yes.
of Maine? George Kinghorn. And he is running a very tight ship, works well with the community. I think he's aiming for, I can't read his mind, but I think I can read his lips.
Yeah.
And I think he's hoping that instead of just effectively rental space in this downtown building for the museum, I think he'd like to have a museum built
yeah.
in Bangor.
Yeah, because this is the one you're talking about, City Arts on downtown Orlando. Is that the building?
No, that's the same kind of thing. No, they were talking about having a new museum in Orlando.
What type of museum? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What type of...
The museum in Maine has rented space in a building. I think what he's hoping for, to expand the museum he has, is to get a new building built as a museum,
yeah,
probably in Bangor.
That'd be an interesting thing.
Yep.
Would you have your art on display there once it's open?
Well, that's going to be the opening.
Oh, yes. It
opens up on the 17th, and it's a big show, and I think he's going to get real attention for it. And he wants a tough show.
As tough as Burn This Art Down was?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Or Burn This Down, am I right? That's another fascinating thing. I enjoyed that personally. I still want to know what makes you so angry at the art scene as somebody just coming into it. Like, what's wrong?
For just that reason, just in the reverse, I think in myself, in a cockeyed kind of way, I've taken it pretty much as you can. If you let things go, it's pretty much that thing. And I think that young people, instead of trying to repeat with the same institutions the kind of thing that happened to me, which is rare and difficult, and I appreciate having it happen. I've had a lot of help along the way. But I think for the young people to say, that's what it has been. To be really original and strong, we have to start after this. Take what Harold Gard does, burn that down, and see where we can go from here on.
Wow.
In. How do we create a new art world where art is an important education, where people losing their jobs because of automation, because of all these other things happening? How about finding ways of filling people's lives with the beauty and the information that they can get out of art? How about making that work? How about a way of communicating with guys like you and other young people with each other? What do I see? Who am I? What am I worth? What can an individual do that's really valid, that makes changes or really develops the things that are good about our society? But we have to examine it carefully,
yes,
and with thought and with discrimination and not listening to the bull. I mean, saying this is what we want and this is what we need. And so the only way we can do it is get angry enough with the institutions around art as they are now and create something new out of the ashes.
Yeah, and that's another interesting question I have for you. Where do you see art going? Do you see the old ways, like canvases and easels, going out by the wayside and digital picking up the art scene? And, you know, there's digital printing where we could paint on a computer and then print it onto whatever we want. Do you see it going that way?
No.
No?
No, I only see it from me. You have to get beyond me. For me, I keep talking about doing more ceramics, doing welding, being involved much more in sculpture, in using computers more, working it in with the splendid reproduction that we now have. It's amazing the kind of things that we can get. The iconoclast on the face of the Deland Museum. When I watch that come off the press, fidelity? Is that the right word?
Yeah. Yes.
The fidelity of the reproduction coming off in those sheets was staggering. And that's already 5, 6, 8 years behind us.
Really? Wow. Behind? Why is it behind? Why would?
Well, that's when it was done.
Yeah.
So I would say, just like the level of printing that people involved in can do and rely on, the kind of color.
There's so vast amounts of palettes.
It's in. There's going to be a catalog from this show. But even his announcement card, which is over there, the color facility on his announcement card up in the museum up there.
Yeah.
Is staggering.
It is. It's a very iconic poster when, you know, over at the gallery.
All of those things have become so wonderfully that we take it for granted, but we can't stop there.
I agree with
you. We have to absorb it, use it as well, step on it, but go beyond it to form something better than it is. And how that's done, I don't know.
It almost sounds like how you described it, you wouldn't mind people just, you know, forgetting or, like, how you say, burn what you do down, like almost destroying your history to make something on top of the ashes. Is that what you're saying?
Well put.
Yeah?
Well put, because what happens is there's good in the old ways. You can't lose all of that. But basically, younger people in the art are not given the mindset, the attitude, or the physical support, or the monetary support that allows something completely more experimental, more community involved, more meaningful to those who are making it, to feel that they are making something, not new for the sake of new, but making things better than they are now. Better for the young artist, better for the artist, better for the older artist, better for everybody. But I don't need it better for me, particularly, anymore.
That's a very intelligent and wise and very humble approach to that. Not many people I know would be willing to say that or admit it to themselves or accept that. I mean, how did you come to that? Like, how did you come to this mindset?
That it really is a good question. I think you have to start off with it somewhere along the line. I saw what happened in American history in terms of art in America. The best support for artists have come when the government supported the artist. Not only the institution, but supported the artist. There was WPA when the time of Depression. Yeah. They had to make jobs for these people who had no other saleable skill as such. So they provided a workspace and some kind of financial relief so that artists could survive. And it's helped the theater, it certainly helped the visual arts, and some of our absolute, considered the greatest now, all was supported first by the WPA and then Changing America after that, after World War II, we had the GI Bill. So the guys like me could get art training and schooling.
Wow.
And we changed America by whoever made that, because we got more engineers, we got more innovation, we got people involved with such a range of things that they never would have been before World War II.
Wow, I didn't know that. So this is like the second industrial revolution, right?
It might as well be.
Yeah.
It's made a different America, because now we take for granted that almost everybody can or should or maybe has to go to college. And before World War II, a high school diploma was considered an achievement in itself.
I agree.
And we used to laugh that it's gotten so that you had to have a college degree to run the elevators in Macy's or Gimbel's or a department store, because there were enough people around doing that so they could select from it. But along with that, you got revolutionary techniques out at Hollywood, and you get commercials now that are made with such skill that it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it's almost.
But
like
we can't stop there.
I agree. Where would you like the art scene, like in your personal opinion, to go? I mean, since you are being so active in the scene itself, what's your plan for yourself, interjecting yourself into what's going on? Or you're already in it, but what's your plan for it? What's your final look at it?
Well, I'm not on the tripping point of death. So I'm not dealing with this, with a big bucket in which to figure what I'm going to pick out of that bucket. The bucket's small. The sands are going down, but it's the only thing that I feel I still can do, which gives me the sense that I'm doing something that's vital. And that sense of something that was vital got brought in because of the big city, the people I knew, the WPA theater, the WPA support for the arts. All of these things were important. The sense of supporting the artist now, I would like to, but I don't know how to. I really wish I did. I don't know. What I do have to do, rely on people like Boris. Burn it down. Put it into words. Getting something that I can relate to, and not try to put a judgment on it. I'm not trying to say it's right to burn things down. It's the right thing to do. It's the wrong thing to discriminate. Yeah, it's the wrong thing to discriminate. It's a wrong thing to hurt people. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. War is a bad thing. Don't do it. Taking people and insulting them in people in public life, people who get insulted for things who they are instead of what they do. All of these things are horrible stuff. It's just really dreadful. And for me, the hope is that you young guys will be offended by what you see enough to get together and say, how do we want it to be? And one of the ways in which you do that, I think, is to cherish the individual. And nothing cherishes the individual as much as a product like a painting that's made by one person with relatively minimal tools and comes across and makes a statement that makes people stop and try to figure out who they are. Because I'm much better if I talk to you as somebody who wants to figure out who you are than if I talk to you like somebody where I say, this is who you are, and this is the person I'm addressing. I don't know. On that level, I don't want to know who you are. I want you to be evolving. I want you to contribute based on what you've already experienced and because of the goals you set up. And one of the ways I can read you is to see how you react to art. We have somebody who looks at a painting and says, yeah, it reminds me of me because I have red hair and that has red hair. So what does the artist think about that? Is they think that, having red hair is a good thing or a bad thing? We are that sensitive to stupidity, and we overcome it by understanding that we have a group value that will say, hey, wait a minute. We're not going to judge people by their height, by the color of their hair. We're not going to do any of that anymore. We do too much of it now. We don't want to be in that kind of groups. But I want to be in a group where saying, I'm going to try this today because I never tried it before. And I think that in trying, maybe it's something we can do better together than I do it individually. And I have no idea what I would do individually, but maybe the two of us could think of something that we could do as a public art project. And then, Mary, I think that you probably know more people than I do, but you also, you know Alice and you know John. So if we do a public thing, where do you think we can have it put up? Who will support it? How will we get it done? How would be known? Because that can then be an inspiration to other people to do this or better or more. So how do we get that kind of drive, that center? One of the ways is by respecting the individual.
I agree. And would you say self-reflection could help better with that? Would you say art could be a catalyst for that for our generation?
Yeah, but... So all of that Yeah, if I help on that at all, I'm kidding myself. I'm an old man. I've done this. This is what I've done. I've gotten some great people around me in the process, either where I realize it or not. I talk about a wonderful filmmaker that gave up his time to live with me and to try to make what he thought was an important film. I have a guy who has learned a lot about art because he's been a collector. And he wants work of mine that represents American art in the 20th century.
That's an interesting view. That's an interesting, thing to be interested in, as far as art.
Yeah, but he becomes a possible resource in ways I can't even imagine, because he has the collection, he's preserving it, he becomes encouraging of it. He does all the things because he's not collecting from the idea of a basic idea that it was something he's supposed to do. It's something he wants to do enough to feel that he's supposed to do it. There was something magical about art that he realized. And what he was doing to collect art was getting work mostly by people who had some kind of fame but got involved in it that he could meet. And at a fundraiser, he would buy a piece by, I think the name's right, by Jane, who's a jewelry designer, by Jane somebody. So he got to know her, so he bought a couple of her pieces. Then people around and known, so he bought some of their things. And he had this mishmash. It was a variety of things that were perfectly acceptable by amateurs. But it was based on a real need for him to be involved, understand people, a part of them that he felt was something that he could do and make work. And then he got interested in me for my luck and thing, and he started really doing marvelously supportive things. If not for him, Iconoclast at the Deland Museum would never have happened.
Really? Well, I believe
that. But both his research and his smarts and his involvement, all of those things. I think that had you asked him those maybe 20 years ago, was that one of his ambitions? I don't think so. But if he looks at one of his achievements, if he asks him one of his achievements, it may very easily be that he saw to it that that mural went up.
So he had the avid passion to want it to happen.
Yeah. And figure out what the goal was and how to reach it. And knowing that it was a cooperative effort. Knowing that it was there, what had to be done, how people had to think. How to publicize it, how to all of these things, all of his managerial skills was right there for him because he had that to contribute without even thinking. That's who he is. But he's learned a lot about art because he's looked and he's cared. And he's given titles to a number of these things out of his interest.
That's amazing. I feel like we don't have anybody in my generation that has that type of drive. Do you feel that same way?
No, but I think you get a group of people. You may wind up getting support or drive or things. I don't know where the organism takes its own shape, but I think that's where it has to come. It has to be not repudiating things that are advantageous, but I think it's not relying only on things that have been tried before and respected because of that. I think you have to get a lot of more respect for the individual, be it in training and doing the saying, what do people have to do? And young people like you, what do you have to do in this world to give you satisfaction? It no longer will be going down to a coal mine. No. And it's not going to be by sitting behind a computer for a program that's already been written out for being able to find out how best to market a new broom.
I have passion playing music, and there are times where I'm just burnt out playing it because I feel like I've done it so much. How did you, after all these years of doing this, being your passion, you didn't get burnt out doing it? Like, how did you keep going? Was there a medium that you had to meet, or was there an inspiration?
Yeah. I don't know. I think at this point I paint because I don't know what else I'd want to do, would or could do. It's something I respect. If I make a painting, I respect what I've done. That's part of it. I've still got the what they call the old Protestant ethic. That even though it's not that, but it's still something I can point to and say, oh yeah, I did that today. I didn't waste the day.
Yeah, so it's like you're avoiding feeling like you're just wasting.
Yeah, that is a good point, yeah.
Okay.
I've come up with a product.
And
whether that product really is worth the effort, my measurement would be automatically, yeah. If it were done and it filled my time and I thought about it and I still think about it, it was worthwhile. Is it worthwhile in my, probably over my lifetime, I probably have earned something like 7 cents an hour, maybe. Maybe, probably less.
Wow, really? Why would you value it that low?
Most people coming out of college earlier, not so much now, coming out of college early, who try to make a career in the arts, failed. It just was not there. There was no. Then you began to get people who weren't doing the thing what I was talking about before, adapting. They started adapting its advertising agencies. They started being illustrators. They didn't stay with things that didn't work anymore, like being a portrait painter for large numbers of people. You may get one portrait painter in a social subset who is known as the guy to paint your daughter before she gets married.
Yeah, and that would just close the market there.
And that was it. But now there are people who have learned in time that they have been able to create a market, whether it's on the internet, through galleries, elsewhere. There are some people, statistically tiny, who are living off their painting.
And that's a very small minority, right?
Very small minority. But it doesn't mean it can't grow.
I believe you about that.
And however you make that grow, by the participants, by the collectors, by other people, by people who think it's valid, people who learn that they can get a grant for six of them to do a mural on the third floor of the new city hall.
That's an interesting take.
So they try to find some way in which to make a group effort where they can't do it alone, or to work out a public art project, or to work out a project, an education product for hanging around with young kids, introducing new materials for them to work with.
And that's something that we don't get
nowadays. You may have to supplement the schools for a while, but then say, look, this is worthwhile, we're doing it. Why aren't we budgeting in the school?
Yeah.
Why we don't have a kind of music program in the schools where all the kids would bring in something that can make a sound and see where you can get together to make a musical piece out of it.
Yeah, like a recorder, like when I was younger. I mean, I was young when they started cutting art and music out of schools. And that's another, it leads me to my other question, since I wasn't taught about any of this, nor has my generation been taught. At risk of sounding a little crass, why should I really care about your art and my generation about it? I mean, why should?
Yeah, one of the things that is an attraction, of course, is to see that there are musicians who are making money.
I agree with that.
And I think when I was younger, the musicians that I know, none of them made any money.
Really?
Then later on, there started to be different groups. Like, certainly, like I was talking about pre-Dylan.
Yeah.
Suddenly you got all these people who, folk singers and such, who had no respect and learn how to do their own, you probably know all that I do, make their own studios, find people who'll do the recording, find somebody to do the distribution, and suddenly there was an awful lot of money to be made in the record business as it was. It may not be anything like it now.
I agree. I don't really see like art being kind of in the forefront, like an avant-garde thing to us. Like, my generation, as soon as I said to people that I was going to interview you, they know you're a famous painter, but they don't know why they should know you in depth like that. Is there any influence that you have over their, like, your art? Would it have an influence on their lives or an impact on them, would you say?
I wish I knew.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, things like having an exhibit, having it talked about, read about, fits closer to what happened to me when, after World War II, and for whatever its reason, the idea that art did not have to imitate Europe.
What do you mean by
that? And we got American art. That art had, there can be an American art. Nobody knew what that was, but they knew that they didn't want to just do it in the tradition of Europe.
So how did that
come about? So the GI Bill comes along, and some of these people come ahead and become teachers because now there are students in the universities and want to give art courses, and they have to have people to teach them.
Wow.
So you got artists who start getting jobs in colleges and getting groups around them. So you begin to get a different vision of how you might live as an artist.
I see what you mean. So each artistic influence gets transferred down to the next.
And certainly you do it in music. You're getting, I don't know how precise, but I think you're getting an awful lot of exciting music now coming out of people who are college trained.
I agree. There's a lot of new young jazz musicians coming out of the woodworks nowadays. It's amazing to see for myself as a just... You know, some people are taking back the old school in a way that are my age. And I how do you feel about that personally? Like, people try to bring back the old.
Oh, no, I think it's perfectly legitimate. It's what you should be doing. It's not that you should just discard it for the sake of discarding it, but retain what can be retained by it, but don't be bound by it. Don't be limited because of what was done before. Because the result of that has not given us a world that really appreciates music enough, or appreciates art enough, or appreciates the activity of someone who'll devote their time and energy and thought to it enough. So open up more opportunities, or get together more, talk about it more, somehow really try to get more energy out of a group than you can individually and make it work. And if you can, more power to you. I'm all in favor of it.
That is actually great. And my third question is, past your time, because it is soon, how do you see your art or in your mind right now, foresighting? How do you see it going up in value or going down?
You better tell me where you think value is.
Value. We had an interesting conversation about value earlier, about how a young prodigy could have this work of art and it's only valued at $100 versus another person who has a piece that doesn't look quite good, but it's almost $2 million or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, if you use money as a guide, then you can go ahead with the old formula of supply and demand. If you can put it up for $2 million and somebody buys it, it's worth $2 million. If you're like me and you put it on the floor over there, while it's on the floor, it's not worth a cent.
So it's all just about you're buying
them. If you buy into the world of money completely and you rely on that.
Oh, so you're buying the value, you're paying the value on it, basically.
Yeah, you gamble.
No, I see.
You call it gambling, you call it an investment, but it's a gamble. If what your goal is to make work, if my goal was to make work that would give me meaningful income, if I thought that was a possibility, I never would have had the life that I had. I didn't think I could do it. I tried to take one of the panels that's now on the face of the DeLand Museum, and I went around to the best galleries that I could reach and to say, I want you to handle my work. I'd like you, to have this on your walls of your gallery. And they say, you're very good, you have good credential. Look, but I'm a businessman. I can't sell this. You're nuts if you think that anybody out on Long Island building one of their New England Cape Cod houses and things going to want something like, they're going to buy something like this and put up on their walls? You have to be kidding. If you do a nice landscape with the sun and you have it out and you say, this is from Pilgrim's Point. I said, I've been at Pilgrim's Point. Oh, isn't that nice? I can put it up there and I can get it from this gallery and over there. And it's not bad. I was thinking maybe there was an outdoor show that they're doing it, but no, I think at the church we're going to have an auction, a fundraiser. And I think I've seen something done from the Point, or maybe not, but I think maybe I better go there on Saturday and see what I can pick up.
Yeah. Sort of like that, then.
Yeah. Well, so,
very interesting.
What is it worth?
Yeah. Whatever you want it to be worth.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
And we'll always get the crazy story of the person who finds the Da Vinci in the garbage or in somebody's attic.
Has that ever actually happened?
There's enough incidents,
okay,
of things like that happening. They're always ongoing. And art goes out. El Greco, which is obviously a very meaningful name, and in terms of money, worth tremendous amounts of money, was once discarded. They went up into attics to find some of this work because they used to use it to help wrap up the animals when it was cold.
Wow. Now, I didn't know that, actually. That's a very interesting fact.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they would go around and try to find where he worked or where it was in, and could there be any still kicking around? So there's always that, because there's nothing that automatically, at the time, at any one time, tells you what something may be worth in terms of dollars or ducats or francs.
Yeah, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fact about the art world, how it just can, you can.
And it's that hype and that story hype,
yeah,
which is a big help, because it means that there could be, people could have, say, I'm going to collect this thing. I think that maybe it's a good investment. It may not be worth anything now, but maybe it might be.
Yeah.
And because it does look a little bit like a Matisse.
Yeah.
And I know Matisse's grandson said that this work all looks like that. So if I go around and convince enough people, they'll come to me to say, this thing that you found up in your attic all the time. Oh yeah, that was my grandfather's work.
That's an interesting thing. I mean, I never personally would. I mean, I've heard stories like from family and their family members, like, they found some mysterious Van Gogh up, like in a attic or in the basement or a weird closet somewhere they don't even clean out. Yeah. It's just.
Or they picked it up at a yard sale.
Yeah, just something so valuable they pick up like $40 and like $500,000.
Yeah. So the stories will be there, and they're fun.
It is.
Like discovery.
And I wish that would happen to me, to be honest.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, one day I hope, like, years down the line, I could find just a Harold Gard, like, that, you know.
And I know him. He had ice cream in the house and didn't offer me any.
Oh, you didn't. Why didn't you? So, how do you feel about my generation being so apathetic towards art nowadays? And
I think it's pitiful. I don't think it happens by accident. I think critical thinking, to think in terms of what is really good, what has been achieved, all the rest of it, is not the kind of question that the government in power now wants you to ask. They want you to say, "Oh yeah, we are being invaded.
We gotta
shut this off. We have to accept what we otherwise would never accept. We may have to do." We're so threatened all the time, then we may have to do something like have a tax cut where all the money goes to the very rich who don't need it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And that trickles down to so many other things, like how school doesn't have art now.
And God's support. It's ridiculous what was even proposed. But if you get people frightened enough that the other people become the enemies or you think they're out to cheat you, you go along with it. And I think you young guys have to have more critical thinking. How you get there, I don't know. I hope you would get it in good schools. I'm hoping that if you don't get it by going to the community college here, I would hope that you're getting it in Yale. But I don't know that you are.
No, I don't know. I mean, and college is such it's a gamble nowadays, and that's another thing that
the investment you have to make in order to go along with Yale may have you so pined up because you would say, okay, I'll do an internship, and I'll do it with a leading pharmaceutical company because they're doing well, and I will do well. And then you find out that in order to get that job, you now have to do an internship for a year, and you don't get paid during that year, and here you have the debt that you have to pay off. So you may have to try to get a job in Walgreens.
And that's just, do you feel like that's by design?
I think it's designed because I don't think the rich automatically get richer in this country without it being by design. It may not be where they write a contract on it, but they go into the ballot room and they know what a bastard was running for president, and they vote for him.
Do you feel as if the older generation is being respected the way it should be in this country?
No, I think we've handed you guys a dirty deal. And the proof of how dirty it is what we have in Washington right now. And we've handed this to you.
And I
failed as a teacher for the same reason.
Yeah.
I don't like the way the rich get richer and the people who have creative impulses are thwarted and not able to really get support to work them out. I don't like the teachers are underpaid. I don't like that the schools have poor facilities. I don't like what's happening to newspapers, and I don't like even the idea that we haven't figured out how to live without creating more pollution.
That is true. And that's the reason for burning this down, am I right? So why do you feel in your own thoughts that I should, me personally, care about art in my life?
Because I love you. Because you're wonderful. You. And wonderful people should have art in their life.
Well, I love you too. Thank you. Wow. Well, thank you. I mean, can you elaborate on that? I mean, why do you feel that one, you know?
Well, because you're young, you're vital, you're good looking. You should see a future. You're at an age now where you can say, wow, I'm really I'm really a contributor to the group in which I can have an identity. I can be part of a group that's doing things, that's getting things done, that can be really helpful to a lot of people, that I can understand who I am better by getting involved in art. And it may be no direct way that I can think of, but be it through music, maybe as music, you can maybe get helpful with somebody's doing scene design. So you're going to be helping support some interesting, innovative play that somebody you know is trying to put on, or pageant or something for some occasion, or a fundraiser for a museum.
Wow.
Or to make an opening, an event.
I personally want to thank you for your influence on me, because before meeting you, I really didn't have a care or knowledge for art like that. And now meeting you and talking with you and just how influential you are, I found out, and seeing how your art hits me, I have a better appreciation for art itself now, and I do believe your words.
I hope that you're so engaging and can find other people. Look for them in the gallery. If there's no other place to find them, look in the gallery and say to them, I think his art is important to you. What can we do to the community to help make art important?
And that is I will definitely do that. And on that note, thank you for joining us on The Experience with Chris Fioravanti.
Thank you for being you.
Thank
it's
you.
It's a good thing to be.
You have a great night, everyone. Go, but right now I know there's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me, just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. A PFT Media production.